Very well. Back to starting our session two speech. And so far we have a couple of students live with us. And hopefully we have some others joining us, I guess, if in a few minutes, but we're going to go ahead and start. A few things that I'd like to make sure that I address before getting too far. I did notice many students missed the first class. So if you watch, I hope if you did not watch the recording for the first session, that you make sure you watch all the next five session recordings, because you are allowed only one absence in this course. And if you missed the first session, this was your one absence. And if you miss any more or have a second absence, unfortunately, you will fail this course due to excessive absences. Now, the two ways: if you submit work but never attend, meet the attendance requirement, then most likely you will fail. But if you've never logged on to the class site, you've never submitted any work, and you miss the first two sessions, then you will be administratively withdrawn from the class, since there will be no sign that you have attended, no sign that you have completed any work, no sign that you've logged on to the class site. Then you will be administratively withdrawn. Now, there is a fee, which is actually much larger than the regular drop fee for student initiated drop, but that's if you don't attend and you don't drop, then you will be administratively withdrawn. Obviously, if you don't listen to the recording, you probably would not know that I said that, but but this is it. So which also another issue that I've noticed is some of you, even though you have listen to a portion of the recording, you have not watched the entire recording. And in order for you to receive full credit for participation and attendance, you have to watch the entire recording. If you've only watched 14 minutes out of 3 hours of class, there is not a way for us to really say you've gotten the material, you've watched it, and you've met that requirement. So let me encourage you to not just let it play and then answer the questions. That is to your disadvantage, because there may be things that I say either at the beginning or at the end, if you probably won't know where things will be said, that if you miss that information, you probably have difficulties with the next things that you need to do. So there is a reason we have an attendance requirement. So if you intend to take the course, be sure to meet those requirements so you can get credit for the course. Some of you, I did respond to you and tell you that I did count you absent. Even though you get a grade for the quiz, you may show that you have a grade for participation in Moodle on the class site, but if you only watched very little of the recording, you will be marked as absent on the attendance record. So, if for some reason you had some issues, you thought you watched the entire thing, but for some reason it only showed that you watched 30 minutes or an hour, instead of the full time that was supposed to be watched, then let me know. I'll be glad to make adjustments to the record as needed. But if I don't hear from you, and hopefully you are reading my notes that I emailed to you from the class side that tells you, even though you submitted comments and asked questions, it only showed you watch 15 minutes out of 3.5 hours. So that's not acceptable. That's not enough for me to count you present. And if you don't respond to this, that means it is true. But if you have a problem that is incongruent with what I said and with incongruent with what the record shows, please email me or call me so I can take care of that. So we can take care of that. Because if I mark you absent a second time, even though you are under the assumption that you actually attended, I will be sending you a note that says you either fail or you have been withdrawn one way or another. So be in contact with me if there are some discrepancies within what you do, what you did versus what is recorded. All right, so let's go ahead and take a look at what is coming up next here. Let's see, I had the class site up. By the way, before I move forward, I want to acknowledge that obviously I am not in the classroom. I am at home, and hope Mia doesn't feel too alone. She was the two of us were in the classroom last week, and the rest of you were online who were attending live. I mentioned last week that my wife and I were expecting a little girl, which is due in July. And this beginning of this week, there was a turn of events that caused my wife to be hospitalized. She's been in the hospital since Monday. So I am kind of running the show everywhere. In the house, at the house, at the hospital, kind of running back and forth. And I'm thankful to Gary for willing to step in for me tonight to set up the classroom on campus and to allow so that I can be at home. That's a big help because I didn't have to drive to campus to do this. So I would ask that you keep us in your prayers, my wife and I, and because this is going to be probably a long few weeks or months, because the doctors don't feel like they're confident to let her come home yet. She's, by the way, the problem is it's a blood pressure that is has elevated significantly, and they want her to be on site to be observed and monitored. So for the next few weeks or even months, so if they decide to keep her in the hospital, then we're going to have to basically be running. I'm going to have to be running back and forth from the house, the school, to work, and the hospital to get things continue to be working around here. So, Julie, were you going to say something?
Yes, I was going to say I will keep your wife and your baby girl and your family in my prayers.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, so for next week, let's see. Let me switch this to student view. All right, so I have not had a chance to listen to the impromptu speeches that you delivered on the voicemail. So I'm hoping I will get a chance to do that in the next day or so. And I hope everyone got a chance to do that. And they also left the name with the recording so that I can identify whose speech was which. So I will be able to take a look, to listen to those in the next day or so, God willing. For the next memorization speech that is coming up next week, I want to make sure that we understand how that's going to work. Most of you have not been attending live, so I'm assuming if you don't attend live next week, then you will be submitting the requirement for having done this with another audience besides the classroom audience. If you attend live, whether it's online or in the classroom, you will recite or your memorization, memorized verses to the class and to me, and you will not need to write the one-page report that is mentioned in there. So if you look under week three, the before class section, you'll see there is a link for submit report for memorized speech. If you deliver your speech live to the classroom, whether online or in the classroom, then you will not need to write to submit that report, okay? Now, for those of you who will be watching the recording and who also will be selecting your own audience for this assignment, you would need to do and submit that report so that we can get credit for the assignment. And let me click on this so that we read the description of the assignment and everyone is on the same page with that. So what does it say? Memorized speech assignment, perform a memorized speech. This speech may be delivered live in the classroom or via web conferences, which is basically via Zoom. And students unable to meet either of these requirements may present in front of an audience, another audience. Your selected audience can be anyone, but the recommendation is to memorize 3 to 5 verses of scripture and recite them in front of your church members. So if you can arrange to do that, that would be appropriate. If you can get a few members from your church that you can use as an audience, then you can use them, and you'll submit to them a copy of the speech log that you can print out and give to them, and they will fill those out, and then you'll collect those forms, and then you'll use information from those forms to write your one-page report. So if you read here, it says, if the student does not present in class, an alternate audience is used. Instead, the student will need to submit the following report to the submit by clicking on submit report for memorized speech assignment space on the class site. So the requirement for that is to download the form, give it to 2 or 3 people of the audience, give the speech before the audience and gather the forms. Write a one-page summary evaluation that incorporates the feedback from your audience forms and your own thought about the experience. So that's basically what that one-page report will entail, is a combination of the information that you present and you get from your audience members and your own thought about how the experience was. Did you feel like you were intimidated so much to the point where you could not finish the recitation, or were you able to complete this effectively with no big issues? So,
I have a question.
Sure.
So just to make sure I'm clear, so I have two options. I can either do the speech, you know, online like this in front of the class, or I can do in front of an audience and have them fill out the form and then I write the one-page report.
That's correct. If you attend live next week, I would be expecting that you would be delivering live.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, so it's only if for any reason you could not attend live and like you've been doing the last couple of weeks, then yeah, you can go ahead and follow that other option. But anyone who attend live, we would expect them to be delivering that live online.
Okay, one last question regarding that.
Yes.
I'll probably do it live.
Okay.
A time frame, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes?
No, actually, there's not a time frame in terms of how long it needs to be. That would depend on how long your verses are. So the number of verses is what is set. The length of time to present them, there's no way to tell. So what you will do is you select. In fact, what I would suggest that everybody does is really email me the passages that you've selected for this, so that we can look for equitability, which means I don't want someone to have to memorize, you know, 5 long verses when someone else just memorized, you know, 3 short verses that are just a couple of lines. So that would not be equitable. So I would suggest that everyone email me the passages that they anticipate that they will be using for this assignment. As soon as you can, so that I can go ahead and give you, say, my okay to go ahead and do that. Because I usually give the example, if you have one of your verses is Jesus wept, all right? So that's just like two words. And then you have another verse that's only a couple of sentence or three. And then, so that would not be long enough compared to somebody else who may have something longer. So I would shoot for, you know, 50 to 70 words, you know, at least, you know, for the, this memorization.
Okay. And you know, I apologize.
No, that's fine.
I didn't read the part about the 3 to 5 verses or scriptures. That was a crucial part. That's how I know how long it's going to take. So, Sorry.
No problem at all. I understand. And that's why I wanted to make sure that I went over this, because some people may be reading this very late and they will be surprised to find out, oh, I have to find an audience. And that's why in week one, in session one, there is a link that says, prepare to deliver your memorized speech, because you're going to have to find someone as your live audience to do this. And some arrangements will be required, I'm sure, on your part and on the part of the people that are willing to listen to your speech. So, and I know some people who are watching the recording, they do that very late, and I'm hoping you are on top of this. And you are really keeping track of when things are supposed to be done, because if you wait too late to really do those things, then most likely you would miss something. You know, like, oh, it's verses. It's not anything. It's not a speech. It's scripture verses. And we do, as I mentioned, those first few minor presentations, they basically are completion grades. I am not really going to be too hard on grading for those, because I know for some people memorization can be hard, and for others it may be, you know, second nature to them. They can memorize the phone book if they need to. So, so I will be taking that into consideration for those first. Is basically to get you into the mood, really, to start thinking about, okay, those are really to warm you up, you know, for your major speeches. They're not, it's completion grade. You do it, you get full credit. And if you don't do it, you get nothing. So, yeah. All right. Was there anything else, Julie?
Nope, that was it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Mia, did you have any questions? Was everything clear about this for you?
Yeah, she asked the questions that I was going to ask also.
Oh, great. She beat you to the punch, huh? All right. So for you, Mia, if you attend live again in the classroom, then you will be, I would expect that you will be delivering your speech in the classroom. So I don't know whether I'm going to be teaching from home again next week, or whether I'll be at the school, but either way, I'll be live. So that, God willing, nothing turns worse, then I should be okay to be live again and to teach the class either here at home or in the classroom again next week. So since there are no other questions, let me go ahead and move on to the after class session in week two. I think we do have that live or recorded speech review that is due, that would be due. Actually, it's due not after class, it's actually due in the after class session. So that's when you will submit that by the end of this week. Let me make sure that I go over the requirements so that everybody is on the same page with that as well. So we mentioned that there are two speech reviews. One is live or recorded, and then the second one is a written speech, which means a script that you will be evaluating. So as we get closer to making it due, then I will I'll go over it again to make sure we understand the requirements for that. So the description for this assignment, listen to a speaker of your choice. It can be a speaker who a speech that is presented online. One of the places that you can go for some of those speeches may be www.ted.com. You could listen to a sermon at your local church or on television. If you are a DCC, if you are a traditional student, you want to do this over a speech or a sermon given in chapel, you can do that as well. So those are the different sources where you can get speeches, listen to speeches. Now, I don't want you to do this over a script. I want you to listen and do as required here. The second speech review will be over a script. And so this review should be 2 to 3 page, not more than that, really. The review must be typed double space. Obviously, if you're going to be submitting it online, it has to be typed. Be sure to include the source in MLA format, which means you'll have a bibliography entry for the source. Consult your MLA handbook to figure out how to cite or write an entry for an oral presentation. So Hopefully you'll figure that you can do that online. You can find information or instructions on how to do that online if you don't have a physical or a hard copy of the MLA handbook. So here are some of the areas that you'll be covering in that review. There is an analysis, we call it listen analysis. Basically, those are some of the things you will be covering. You will include, I used to require a full sentence outline, a formal outline for this oral speech, but I figured out it's much harder to develop a formal outline from listening to someone speaking than from reading a script, so I kind of changed that. I make it where you only do a summary, a brief summary of the message, highlighting the key points or the key areas that you identified as you were listening. And that needs to be in paragraph form, obviously, but it's not going. You don't need to do a formal outline for that. You will indicate what type of speech you think it is. Was it an informative presentation? Was it a persuasive presentation? Or do you think it was some type of ceremonial speech? You know, you want to identify, to be able to determine who the audience was that speech was designed for, who was it presented to? What kind of strengths and weaknesses did you notice as you were listening to the presentation? How does this speech affect you? Do you agree or disagree with the message? Why or why not? Did the speaker use like, those kind of filler words? Did you see, did you hear those things? Did the speaker have acceptable articulation, enunciation, and natural pauses? And did the speaker speak too softly or too loudly? Did the speaker include a strong introduction, conclusion, and transitions throughout the presentation? And finally, did the speaker's thought flow from one point to the next without big interruption? So the transition help connect those points and have them flow well. Now, I do not want, although these are, those points are presented in bullet points, that's not how your paper will be written. You're not going to just answer this statement in the way they are presented here. For example, you're not going to just tell me when I said who the audience was. Don't just put that, who the audience was, and then answer by it, a group of teenagers, all right? No, that's not what I'm asking. You would want to incorporate all those elements within a coherent essay with clear introduction, body, and conclusion, obviously. Obviously, your summary may be part of your introduction to the paper until you introduce the things that you're going to be covering. So I need this to be a well-written essay in the form of a full sentence, complete paragraph, coherent paragraphs, and so forth, not bullet points, okay? So I wanted to make sure that I made that because I've seen quite a few of those before where that's how they're presented. I wanted to make that clear for everyone so that there is no confusion. All right, so those are the key things that we want to look for end of this week and beginning of next week. Now we can go ahead and start class. All right, so today you were supposed to read chapters 3 and 4. What I'm going to be talking about a bit is really some principles in regard to listening, barriers to listening. We'll try to identify some ways that we can improve our listening as well as we go along, in addition to some other things we'll cover in this chapter. And in chapter 3, I'm covering chapter 4 before chapter 3, because in chapter 3, I really wanted to look at particularly the section about speakers' ethos. The four areas, we'll look at those, because most of the other things that are presented in this and in chapter three will be developed further in subsequent chapters. So I won't spend too much time on those for today. And we'll say a little bit about some tips for memorization, since a lot of people probably are not accustomed to memorizing a lot. Our brain works differently for many different things. So we would say a few things about memorization. So let's start by asking you this question. Since listening is one thing that often we take for granted. It's almost assumed that we were born with the ability to be good listeners. We take a lot of classes from grade school to through college. We have a lot of content courses. We study history, we study psychology, whatever the subjects are. We take speech classes in college to help us improve our speaking abilities. But I don't know of anywhere where we in any curriculum where you have a class that's specifically designed to help you improve your listening. And if I'm wrong, I'm going to ask this question to you, those of you who are alive. Do you remember, have you had any opportunities to take a course where either there was a major component in the course that was dedicated specifically to teach you how to listen, or you take a good course that that was only on listening. So any ideas?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Mia?
We had a lot of teachers that would make us not be able to write notes. And then we would have to write afterwards what we heard.
Oh, was that a class that you took that forces you to listen before you actually write any notes? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. That might not be a bad idea, because I think sometimes when we write too much while we listen, we get distracted because we get so concentrated on trying to get everything on paper, trying to get everything the person is saying, that we may not even really listen to other things. So, yeah, that may not be a bad idea. So let's start with this question, as I mentioned earlier. What do you think is the difference between listening and hearing?
I believe the difference is, hearing is just, hearing the voice, hearing the words, what someone is saying. But listening is you're actually paying attention to the message that they're trying to say, to the words. I think a lot of that listening also involves their facial expressions and their body language, just get an idea on, how sincere they are about the message. And you can also detect whether they're happy, they're angry, they're sad, they're anxious. So it's not just about hearing words, it's about comprehending and really listening to what they really want to say.
Right. Yeah. So I usually include this listening, not just with your eyes, with your ears, but also listening with your eyes. Because you miss a lot if you're not paying attention to the body language. Because sometimes we can contradict our message verbally and non-verbally. We say something verbally, and then
in my line of work, that's very crucial. In my line of work, it's very crucial to listen.
Very good. What is it you do?
I'm a people department manager for an alcohol drug rehab facility.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Mia, did Julie cover everything you were going to say about the difference between listening and hearing and listening?
Yeah, I think that listening just means that you retain the information. And hearing, okay, you're kind of trying to respond and you don't keep it in.
Yeah, so technically, you've addressed, you know, some of those. So hearing, but based on what you said here, you're saying you don't have to make too much effort to hear things, as long as you have the faculty of hearing, then you hear a lot of things without really having to pay attention to them. Listening, on the other hand, is active. You have to involve yourself with the process, as you mentioned, and sometimes you really have to concentrate to really listen, because you have a lot of other things, as we'll be looking at, some of the distractions that can affect our ability to listen effectively. You have to really focus and concentrate sometimes to listen effectively. So listening is active. Listening, hearing is a natural ability, as I said, because you have ear, you can hear. But effective listening is actually a skill that must be learned and applied. Because if you know the principles but you don't apply them, then it's not going to work. Now, there is a, if you are in the workplace, since listening is such an important part of your job, Julie, I think one site that I think might be advantageous to you is the International Listening Association. It's actually a formal association, professional association, that you can join as a member and be a contributor to articles and things like that that are helpful in improving your listening abilities. So for some of us, we are in profession that really emphasize effective listening. And in fact, if you're communicating with anyone, you are going to be using some form of listening skills or abilities that you might want to develop. So let me ask you, put those habits that we often have that are considered poor listening habits. And I caught myself violating some of those very rules sometimes, because we get busy at times. We're so consumed with life and things in our life, day-to-day life. You may think you're listening, you're a good listener, but you may catch yourself not listening when you're supposed to be listening. And I've done that. It happens to me. I have kids. I have spouse. There are times I don't feel like I listen to them as I really should. And it's because of distraction, internal distraction and so forth. So let's look at this list. Nichols and Stevens from the book, Are You Listening? They identified a number of elements, a number of things that they consider as poor listening habits. And I won't spend a lot of time on this, but I wanted to kind of show them and ask you to look over them and see which one of them do you feel like you could relate to or really hits home for you. I'll just read them very quickly. Number one, calling the subject uninteresting. It's boring. It's not interesting. I'm not listening. All right. Criticizing the speaker and or the delivery. You know, we put, instead of saying, well, I'm not listening, I'm putting the blame on the speaker. He's not entertaining. He doesn't make me laugh. Okay. It's almost like every presentation has to be entertaining. It has to be a joke. That's not how life works. Not everything is necessarily entertaining. Getting overstimulated by things that may be positive or negative. We see things, we hear things that we think, oh, that's good, and then you start going into la la land, thinking about everything else except what the meat of the presentation or the information being presented is. We're sometimes listening only for facts. Okay, what's in it for me? What is the bottom line? What is your point? What are you trying to get to here? We, when we do that, we tend to miss some other important things in the message. Some people are not in the habit of taking notes. And when they do take notes, they try to write everything the person says. There's no way you can do that. You cannot write every word someone says because the person can speak a lot faster than you can write. So it's a futile endeavor if you try to do that. So if you take notes, you can take notes. If you decide not taking notes or outlining everything, it's still a poor listening habit if you do one or the other. Number six, faking attention. We have some people who are famous for this. They're looking you straight in the eye. You're thinking, oh, great, so-and-so is getting it. You're getting that, they're getting this message. And then ask them a question about what you just said. They can't say anything about it because they were really dreaming. They weren't really paying attention to you. They're faking attention. They're looking at you. They think, making you think that they are listening, but they are not. Tolerating or creating distractions. We have some people who are, they're not listening, but they're also creating distractions for other people. Whether it's playing with their cell phones, playing solitaire on the computer when they're supposed to be listening, and someone in the back looking at the computer screen and saying, wow, this is an interesting video game that they're, and then that person's mind is off as well. So not only are you creating distractions for you by not listening for yourself, but you're also creating distractions for the other people around you. So this is a poor listening habit. Tuning out difficult material. Wow, I don't understand math, therefore I'm not going to listen to the math teacher. So that makes no sense. It's almost counterproductive, because if you don't understand it, then obviously, and if you don't listen, you definitely are not going to get it at all. So the line of thinking, the logic behind that sometimes can be daunting. So as long as something is difficult, I don't want to break my head trying to understand it. I'm just going to turn it off. Number nine, letting emotional words block the message. We sometimes have what we'll be talking a little bit later about, what we call trigger words, things that really has a history with us. We hear the word and automatically it strikes a chord with you, where you start going back to things that probably experiences that you had that could be either positive or negative, and that takes you off course from listening to the message. And finally, number 10, wasting the time difference between speed of speech and speed of time. Just like we can speak faster than someone can write, well, obviously we can think a lot faster than someone can speak. Okay, so, and sometimes we try to find ways to occupy, this other part of your brain that is not being used during that time because of the speed at which you can think. So I believe they said you can speak, 150 words a minute? But thinking, you can think, probably three or four times more than that, 500 or so, so a minute. So this
I think women can talk more the same.
Who?
Women, we could put more words per minute than men.
We can put more words per minute. Yeah. So we have the gift of gabs, is that what they say?
Just like I'm interrupting you now.
that I'm fine with that. I do welcome that, by the way, because I hate to be, the talking head, there I'm just talking and nobody is really kind of interacting with the information. So yes, please feel free to jump in with questions, comments, anything. All right. So any of those 10 things that we just identified really strike you that, oh yeah, that's me. Oh no, that's not me. Any of those?
I'm guilty of everything, but I'm a whole lot better today than I used to be. But I can tell you, I guess I'm a better listener because I'm a horrible note taker. So
okay. So, all right. So you tend to write to not take notes, or
I try.
Okay.
But I'm easily distracted. So
when I
take notes, I catch myself doodling.
Ah. Okay.
Okay. And I've always been like that. Even at my ripe old age, I still find it difficult. So I really have to pay attention. And
okay. So. Mia, was there any of those elements that you identified with?
Number six.
Number six, faking attention?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're not the only one. I'm there too sometimes, depending on what's going on in my head. So the thing is, once we identified our weaknesses in those areas, as we'll be looking in terms of tips for improving listening, that would be one of them, is identify. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here. Identify your problem and then see what you can do about it. Okay, so. I like this quote from Style, Summerfield, and DeMar that said, in the article, Listening, It Can Change Your Life. They said, listening is not just a trick or a succession of techniques, even though we're talking about tips and things like that, but it is an attitude, a way in which you relate to the world. And to be a good listener, you must make listening a part of the way you live. This is already part of your life. You listen for information, you listen for entertainment. So you're here in the class listening for information. So we spend a lot of times in our days listening, but this is the skill or the topic that we haven't really given a lot of training on. No, that's maybe it's almost assumed that we know how to do that. But there are some tips and some training that could be helpful in helping us improve our listening habit. So we're saying poor listening habits have consequences. Or things that you probably could remember a time when you weren't listening appropriately and you missed something that caused you that had some bad result, I would say, if I put it that way. So I want you to think for just a minute with me. Think of a time when not listening effectively put you in a difficult situation. What problems do you remember that caused you? And thinking back now, what do you think you could have done differently?
I can't think of anything right now.
Okay. Can you, Mia? Can you recall any situation where? I mean, I think you can. You can think far back with your parents, with a job, with a, at work you missed something and. Well, you had to go back and redo the assignment because you weren't paying attention the first time. Anything like that can be part of this. In school, you weren't listening when instructions was given for an assignment and you missed that and you got a 70 on the assignment because you missed a major part of it instead of getting 100 had you just listened to the whole thing, the whole information, instructions that were given. So there are quite a bit of situations where that can be applicable. Anything, Mia?
Yeah, there are a lot of times when teachers will kind of ask questions about what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wasn't listening, I don't know what to say.
Okay. So this the follow-up question is, what could you have done differently?
Actually paid attention.
Yeah. Yeah. Because as we based on what we said, obviously we already identified there's a difference between hearing and listening. I can hear, you know, perceive sound, but if I'm not paying attention and focus on the information and try to interpret the information and try to really understand the context of information that is being presented, then I'm not really listening, because it really involves your whole self when it comes to effective listening. All right, so let's move on. It's not just when you listen as a listener, there are some benefits that you derive from listening. Just as a speaker, you also derive benefits from people listening well to you, being attentive. So some of the things, obvious, those are obvious. I would say I'm being Mr. Obvious right now. Increased knowledge levels. When you listen, you go to conferences for your job, and when you go to conferences, that's all you do. You listen for information, people presenting information to you to help you, whether it's to help you do your job better, help you understand certain things that you did not understand before. So it helps to increase your knowledge levels, you know, when you attend presentations and so forth as a listener. So if you're not listening effectively and practice the skills of listening, then you may miss out on some of those things. Obviously, you can go back and find that information in some other places, but had you listened the first time, you would save yourself some time. Learn what works and what to avoid. As you listen to speeches and presenters and watching presentations and so forth, you see techniques that people use to present the information. And now that when you have to present, when you have to be in that position, then you can see what they did well and what did they do that fell flat, really, that you didn't, you think, oh yeah, that didn't work, I guess I would avoid that if I had to do the same thing. So that's some of it. I mean, obviously there are a lot more advantages that you can come up with, but those are the two key ones that I wanted to point. There are also benefits for the speaker. In this class, we talked about how we will be giving speeches. So I'm expecting the audience to be good listeners, to give feedback to the speaker. And when you receive good feedback as a speaker, it does boost your self-esteem. You feel more connected, because the audience is actually paying attention. The audience is not just staring, you know, at their cell phone or the computer screen, but they actually are paying attention to you. They show you that by giving you the feedback, by leaning forward, by shaking their head when you say something that they agree with, or by maybe if it's a presentation that encourage questions, encourages them to ask questions, they're able to do that. So you feel more connected. And obviously when you feel more confident, then your communication apprehension or anxiety starts to diminish. So benefits for both listener and the speaker when it comes to good listening. So Let's move on to some barriers that you may, even though you may intend to listen well, there are things that we know can impact or can affect our ability to listen effectively. So some of those things, you could have noise, external noise, okay? You have internal noise, you have external noise. External noise, in our case, are things that are outside of the speaker. The speaker is not creating those noise. Internal noise, external noise is an environment. Could it be someone screaming? In our case, in the classroom at DCC, if I am in room 201, and actually that has happened many times. In fact, recently I actually had to interrupt class because there was such a big scream in the hallway that everybody really got disoriented, and I had to stop for a while to figure out what was happening, what I was teaching. So that would be considered environmental noise. Could be people in the classroom or in the audience not paying attention, and creating distraction for you and themselves as well, as we pointed out earlier. The message can also be an external noise, which means it's disorganized. Even though you really want to follow with the presentation, you really want to pay attention, but it is so disorganized that you get discouraged. You try, but you can't see the flow. You can't see how things connected. You're trying to make sense of the message and it's not working. So this is part of what we're going to be focusing on in this class, is for you to learn how to organize your thoughts so that when you present, you're not just presenting, but you're also giving a well-organized presentation that people can really follow and understand your thought. So that's part of avoiding that external noise and the message itself, so that people can follow through. The presentation can be a noise, which means the presenter, the way the person, maybe it could be the distraction the person creates him or herself. Sometimes we have habits when we speak, and it could be where we start fidgeting, we jangle keys in our pocket, we have a pen in our hand that we're turning on and off by pressing on the tab, and things like that. So those are distractions as speakers that we do not want to create, because those become noise for the audience, for the listener, that instead of encouraging them to listen, we're creating those distractions. So those are some of the things that we would need to be aware of in terms of noises that are external. And some of those can be avoided. Sometimes, for example, it could be just get up and close the door to the room if there are noise outside. It could be closing a window, to take care of an external noise. And some others can be harder to do, but there are some that are easy to avoid and eliminate. Internal noises or barriers to listening can be reactions that we have to subject and topic. We have biases, we have different attitudes about subjects. Sometimes that as soon as you hear the topic, you already closed your mind to listening. And sometimes our biases can be against the topic, or it can be against the speaker. You don't like that person, and therefore it doesn't matter what type of message they have, you just decide that you are not going to pay attention. Okay? Sometimes it could be because of our cultural differences, there are things that are acceptable in one culture that are not acceptable in another, and we feel this is taboo, you know, for your culture, and you decide, you know, you're not going to pay attention to that. I have seen people walk out of presentation as soon as something is said that probably, you know, hit them culturally. They decide to leave. And sometimes it could be we don't want to listen because if we do listen, we're afraid that we may have to change our mind about things. So this becomes an internal noise. It's like I have a strong feeling about this subject, and I don't want anyone to tell me differently, to tell me that I'm wrong. And any presentation that goes against that belief, you try to avoid from listening to it. That's why we said, if you don't agree, sometimes we decide, if I don't agree with you, I'm not going to listen to you. But if you only listen to things that you agree with, then or people that you agree with, how are you going to grow? How are you going to have a different perspective on things? Because you can't only listen to people that you agree with, okay? In order for you to be able to develop critical listening skills is to listen to things that probably goes against the grain in some way, if I may use that expression. So, and obviously bad listening habits that we have, as we identified earlier, could also be considered as internal noise as well, that we need to identify them and take steps to correct them. So next things that we would like to really hit on here is talking about some things that we can do. We look at the barriers, things that can affect our ability to listen effectively. We look at a list of poor listening habits that we already have. What now? What can we do if we want to improve our listening skills? Okay, so obviously there are things that are clear that we can do, and others that may take a little bit more effort. Okay, first is to identify the problem that you have. That's why I started with this list, and I ask you to look. Okay, whether any that you feel that you could relate to that really hit home for you. And once you identify those, you work through those problems and see how you can correct them. And you would want, if you feel like you have biases against certain subject, then, well, how about putting those biases aside and see, give it a full hearing before you actually make a decision that you disagree or not, because sometimes messages take different turns. Get everything you can out of messages is one way to improve your listening skills. Next, don't try to write down everything because you can't. That will definitely be a problem if you try to write every word from the speaker's mouth. You have to be able to write as fast as the person can speak, which is not possible. So you listen for ideas, for main ideas, and as Mia pointed out earlier, it's good to listen. You summarize what you listen in your own word, and you write it. Then that becomes more, you can remember that easier because you understood the concept before you put it into your own words. You paraphrase it because it's easier to remember your own words and your own thought than to memorize somebody else's thought and ideas. So listen for main ideas. Control your reactions to words that may be what we call trigger words. If you hear something that make you go back to you know, a positive or a negative experience, don't jump too fast and decide, you know, yeah, I'm not going to continue listening to this because it makes me sad. It reminds me of something that happens, you know, to me. In fact, sometimes we don't really know how people are affected by words that we said. I actually had a student who had who had some bad experience with post-traumatic disorder, and which was as a result of how would I say that? Well, she has been a victim of sexual assault. Let me put it this way. And a professor in the class was talking about a topic that, I mean, obviously there was nothing, it was in the Bible class, and there might be something that was said in the class that really threw that student back to that mode, that really affected her ability to focus and do well in the class. In fact, she confided that in me and said, you know, it's not the fault of the professor. The professor didn't know about her situation, but a word that was said really threw her way back and really affected her significantly. And that's what we mean by a trigger word. And I don't know whether there was a word that was taken out of context or anything like that, but I'm just giving that example as the effect communication can have on people, whether you're aware of that or not. The words that we use, they have consequences. And then lastly is the idea of postponed judgment until the end. Sometimes we jump. You know exactly where the person is going with this train of thought. We decide, you know, exactly what the conclusion is going to be, and therefore you make your mind right then and there without listening to the entire thing. I like this story that was someone sent this to me from preachingtoday.com about listening to the whole story. What it says is one day an old man was casually walking along a country lane with his dog and his mule. Suddenly a speeding pickup truck careened around the corner, knocking the man, his mule, and his dog into the ditch. The old man decided to sue the driver of the truck, seeking to recoup the cost of the damages. While the old man was on the stand, the counsel for the defense cross-examined the man by asking a simple question. I want you to answer yes or no to the following question. Did you or did you not say at the time of the accident that you were perfectly fine? And the man said, well, me and my dog and my mule were walking along the road, and the counsel for defense said, stop, stop. I ask you, tell me yes or no. Did you say you were perfectly fine at the time of the accident? And the old man started again, well, me and my dog and my mule were walking along the road. The defense attorney appealed to the judge and said, Your Honor, he said, the man is not answering the question. Would you please insist that he answer the question? The judge said, well, he obviously wants to tell us something. Let him speak. So the man said, well, me and my dog and my mule were walking along the road, and this truck came out around the corner far too fast, knocked us into the ditch. The driver stopped, got out of his truck, so my dog was badly injured, went back to his truck, got his rifle, and he shot it. Then he saw that my mule had a broken leg, so he shot it too. Then he said, how are you? And I said, I'm perfectly fine. So this obviously is funny, is tend to be a funny story, but you can see, obviously, if until the person got to the end of the of his testimony, you can't really know what is going to happen. Obviously, the person was trying to save his life when he said he was perfectly fine, but he was not. Okay, so postpone judgment till the end. Don't jump to conclusion too fast, because you may miss out on important information that will help you get a better conclusion than what you may jump into before listening to the whole message. Okay. So, how do you listen critically? Even though we're talking about paying attention to the whole story, listening critically helps you do several things. Okay. Listening critically helps identify problems with messages or speakers' intention. Are they real? Are they, is the speaker really trying to put it over my head so that I can accept something that I don't even understand? Especially when it comes to persuasion or persuasive presentations, it's really important that we listen critically to see where things where there are disconnects within the messages. It helps us differentiate between facts and inferences and opinions. So, in case you're wondering, what is a fact? Well, a fact is something that you can verify. You can go and find the source, and this is it. Obviously, that's why we have people that are in charge for fact check when doing political debates. Because people are saying things, they're using numbers that are often are not factual, but they're using them as fact. So fact is it can be verified as true or false. In fact, we even talk about fake news these days. We talk about post-truth, you know. So there are ways to manipulate even the facts to make them say things that they are not really saying. Inferences is basically a conclusion that you reach based on facts, and may need other facts to support your inferences that you make. So as you listen critically, you're listening for the differences between among those things. Is it a fact? Is it an opinion? Is it an inference? Because if someone is passing an opinion as fact, then that would tell you something that a person probably either is being unethical about it and making you think this is real, this is fact, when it is a pure opinion. It is important to make that clear. This is my opinion versus making you think it is a fact. Okay, it helps distinguish between ethical and unethical messages. Obviously, as we pointed out, sometimes people may want to persuade you to do things by using facts and inferences in the wrong way. So that would be unethical when they do that. And then obviously it helps you to avoid manipulation. Because I can identify those any fallacies in arguments that speakers are making, then you're able to figure out whether you're being manipulated or not. And that will help you to determine whether you should accept or not accept as truth. All right. Some of the questions that very quickly, I'll just read through those questions very fast that you can ask to determine whether you're listening critically or not. Okay. So whether a message is ethical or not trying to really putting things over your head that you don't understand. So a few questions, there are mainly more that we can ask, but I'm going to list those few questions for you. First, are ideas or claims supported with evidence? When someone is presenting things to you and information to you, do they have evidence to support their claims and ideas? That's where the research comes in. They're able to do solid research to make the claims that they are making based on facts. Is it relevant? Is it represented? active? Is it recent? And is it reliable? Can, because you could have, I could cite sources sometimes that are not credible. And if the source is not credible, therefore the information that is presented is not reliable. So you want to be able to ask those questions to help you listen more critically. Are facts and inferences and opinions clearly differentiated? We can see what the person's opinion, what things that are the person's opinion, and what things are facts that you can verify. Are claims concrete and understandable? Does the speaker ask you to ignore your reason? So those are questions that you may ask. And being able to identify or differentiate between facts, inferences, and opinions is actually an important aspect. And I'd like to very quickly ask you to look over this statement here and identify what are things that are considered inferences and what are things that are fact. There are statements on here that I'd like you to read over them very quickly. Let's see here. This come up. This, Julie, distinguishing fact from inference, should be inferences, maybe.
What would you like me to do with this?
I mean, you see the paragraph, but distinguishing fact from inference?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'd like you to read through this paragraph here, and once you finish reading it, see if I can get this down here. There are a number of statements. Some of them are considered fact, and some of them are considered opinions. So I'd like you to read through that and tell me which one of them you feel like was fact from based on the statement you read, and what are some of them are basically the person making inferences based on the information that is presented.
Okay.
Are my instructions clear? You understand?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Dirty Dick has been killed. The police have rounded up 6 suspects, all of whom are known criminals. All of them were near the scene of the crime at the approximate time that the murder took place. All had good motives for wanting Dirty Dick dead. However, larcenous Lenny has been completely cleared of guilt.
Okay. Now that you've read this, determine whether each of the following statements can be determined as fact or inference from the above statement.
So we'll say one at a time whether it's true or not.
You could just tell me which one of them you think was factual. If you can just look through all of them. If you want me to go back to the paragraph, I can.
So number one is a fact.
It was?
Well, he was part of, no, sorry. It is not a fact. Because it doesn't say whether he was part of the 6.
Okay.
Um, I guess 5 is a fact.
5? The police do not know who killed. Okay. Let's see. For sure.
Well, because. No. It's called short-term memory.
Yes, I understand.
let's see. Okay, so Lars has been cleared. Seven is a fact.
7?
Yeah.
It is known, actually, there's a typo here, I'm sorry. It is known that all 6 suspects were in the vicinity of the cold-blooded assassination.
Yeah, if I read that.
Yeah, but where does it say, there are some details that probably included in this that was not included in the paragraph, if you read
that. It doesn't say it was a cold-blooded assassination.
Exactly. So
he could have been hit by a bus.
Exactly. That would be an inference. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, does that make sense? So you can go. I'm not going to give the answer because I know people are going to watch the recording. If I said, they can differentiate based, they have to read it. If you're watching the recording, I do want you to do this by reading the paragraph and identify which one of those statements are inferences and which one of them are fact. To tell you the truth, there are very few of them that are facts. Most of them almost are inferences.
Number 8 is a fact. Number 8 is Dirty Dick
is dead.
So
yeah, it is. Dirty Dick has been killed. Yeah.
Beginning.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So there is probably one more, but I'm not going to state it so that people who watch the recording have a chance to. And I'm sure you probably see going through this. You probably identify which other ones.
Have.
Okay.
I
you have.
Have?
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. What about you, Mia? Were you able to find the other ones that? That are facts?
I think I was.
Huh?
I was.
Okay, very good. So I want the people watching the recording to do a little thinking about this as well, so that they find their own and interact with this. So obviously, we read something, we hear something, and we make inferences based on the information we get, and sometimes we confuse them. We confuse the inferences that we make as the actual fact, and sometimes we need other fact to explain or to support our own inferences. So it is important to be able to make those distinctions when it comes to listening critically. Okay, so finally. Not only that we need to listen critically, we also need to listen ethically, okay? So this is what I'll leave you with. Listen to others as we would have them listen to us. That sounds like a great commission. Mm-hmm. I mean, not the great commission, but the golden rule, that's what I meant. If you presenting, you would want people to pay attention to you. You would want people to give you their attention as you present. So give your undivided attention to others as you would have them want them to give to you as well. Keep your mind open. Don't jump to conclusion on limited information or just because something is contradict. You know, what your views are already on it, that doesn't necessarily make that person wrong. Okay, you could have opinion on things, and that doesn't necessarily make you wrong, but listening to other people's opinion will kind of give you a different, another perspective that you probably didn't have before. Keep your biases in check another way. before jumping to conclusion. Provide honest feedback as a listener. If you understand, sometimes just give a little yes, or shake your head and so in a way that shows you understand. Sometimes by giving feedback, by leaning forward, that means you're not hearing appropriately. That person may be able to increase his or her voice, volume of his or her voice, so that you can hear better. And of course, seek out what is good and useful in the message as you listen, just like you would want someone to do for your own messages. So those are some areas that I wanted to really look at when it comes to listening. Obviously, there was a lot more that I could say, but we only have so much time to do this. So in fact, I think it's way past the time to give you a break, because I know we've been at it for a little while here. So listening both critically and ethically, and also figure out what are your weaknesses, the things that you need to correct that affect your own listening habits, and figure out what they are and what you can do to improve them. And we give you some tips for that. So hopefully some of those are applicable in the way that we can improve our listening. Let's go ahead and take a 15-minute break here. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the perception, the kind of perception that we make as listeners, and impressions that we make as listeners. That's what I meant. I didn't say that right. The impressions that we make as speakers, and then we'll talk a little bit about memorization and what to expect for your next speech here, which is coming up next week. All right, so 15 minutes. Let's be back by 8:25. Does that sound right?
Sounds good.
Okay, so let's go ahead, and we'll be back at 8:25.